KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. In this hour of Forum, two very different transportation topics. First, the long-awaited launch of the Smart Train up in the North Bay happens Friday. We'll hear why it's been delayed so long and what the new transit option might mean for commuters. Then the full-scale launch of bike sharing is underway throughout the Bay Area. We're seeing the bicycle pods popping up all over, but not everyone is happy with it. Trains and bikes. That's our topic this hour of Forum, and we'll get started right after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. Traffic congestion. It's always near the top of local concerns, and two new options for getting out of your car are ramping up this month. In this hour, we're going to talk about both of them, and we begin with the Smart Train up in the North Bay. It stands for Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit. Voters approved it in 2008, and it's taken about a decade to get it up and running, but full passenger service begins Friday morning. And joining us to talk about it are Farhad Mansourian. He's the general manager for the Smart Train system. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. And also joining us, Dan Brecke, editor and reporter here at KQED News, joins us from Garfield, Colorado. Dan, did you get off at the wrong train exit this morning?
I did. I was a little confused. Good morning, Scott.
Good to have you with us. So let me begin with you, Farhad, if I could. What are you doing between now and Friday morning, or actually Friday afternoon, I believe, when this actually begins? What needs to be done? What are the last things still on the to-do list?
Well, on the to-do list is the seating chart and making sure that the biggest ceremony in Marin and Sonoma County goes very well, making sure the music guys show up, the food guys. We have adequate number of drinks and seats and parking and security. And then the train itself, make sure it's clean, up and running. Everybody's uniform comes out of the laundry today. How's that? Just a zillion Just things, like a huge wedding. I'm revisiting my son and daughter's wedding all over again.
What's keeping you up at night as you think about Friday? And it is Friday afternoon, right, I believe? I
thought Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Friday,
okay, pardon me.
Friday
I'm
morning.
Giving out misinformation.
Correct.
Okay. So what's going to happen?
Well, Friday morning, this is by invitation as well as open to the members of public. So 9 a.m. At the historic Railroad Square Station in downtown Santa Rosa. Please come and join us. It's a historic milestone. For more than 60 years, we haven't had a train in Marin and Sonoma, and so that's why this is a historic day. We have a number of federal, state, and local dignitaries who will make speeches, and then we have a couple of surprise ceremonies, and then we will have a short inaugural train ride. And all of that will be done in about 2 hours, and then we will turn the tracks back to the operation, and beginning at 12:49 precisely, we go into full passenger service 7 days a week.
And, Dan Brecke, you cover transportation, of course, in the Bay Area. How do you see the Smart Train fitting into all the other transportation options in the Bay Area?
Well, it's an interesting question, just from the standpoint that we have a very fragmented transportation network. But this is something that, and to return to the picture of the North Bay, I mean, people still rue the decision of Marin County to opt out of BART more than half a century ago. But this adds, this is a cool story from the standpoint that, as Mr. Mansourian mentioned, there used to be train service up there. There's a railroad right-of-way that was had been unused for decades and was ready to press into service. And it happens to run right down the 101 corridor. And anybody with experience of driving the 101 corridor and rush hour traffic knows that it's a tough go. And, you know, it also comes in the context of, you know, BART's expanding. Muni is expanding its rail service. So piece by piece, these things are getting put into place. I mean, BART opened its Warm Springs extension 5 miles from Fremont. Another 10 miles is supposed to go into service maybe by the end of this year, beginning of next year. They're also doing what they call eBART. It's actually a system very similar to SMART that's going to run from 10 miles from West Pittsburgh out to Antioch. And then in San Francisco, Muni is still hammering away at the Central Subway, as anybody who drives on 4th Street knows. So anyway, this is a part of a gradual growing out, and, you know, maybe something that will get some people out of their cars. That's always been a very tough nut to crack.
And Farhad Mansourian, how does it link in, if at all, to the other transportation mode up there, the ferries?
So what we've been doing in the last 2 years is coordinating with our colleagues in other transit agencies. So in Sonoma County, we have Sonoma County Transit, Petaluma Transit, Santa Rosa Transit. In Marin County, we have Marin County Transit. And then in both counties, we have Golden Gate Transit. So we've been coordinating with them, and not only their buses will be in sync with our departure and arrival at our major locations, such as downtown San Rafael, but we are also coordinating with Golden Gate Bridge with the ferry service. Our next phase, which is fully funded and we should start construction in just a few weeks, will take us to Larkspur Ferry in 2019. And until then, we have Golden Gate Bridge has a shuttle or a bus service that will take you from downtown San Rafael when you get off a train directly into the ferry, until such time that in 2019 we actually go there. And also going north, because we're not serving Cloverdale, Hillsburg, and Windsor at this point, Sonoma County Transit will also be running a free shuttle that will express just make 3 stops and bring everybody to and from our Sonoma County Airport. So we've done a very good job coordinating with our colleagues in other transit agencies.
You mentioned that Larkspur Ferry extension, which is already funded. Is that also using that right-of-way that already existed, the tracks that existed, that Dan Brecky referred to?
Correct. Dan is very correct. So, you know, back in the 80s, there were a group of people who had a vision, and they wanted to make sure that the right-of-way is preserved because the private property owner who owned the tracks at that time, SP, was selling everything. So in the 80s, they went to Congress and got money and passed legislation and preserved the right-of-way. The tracks we totally have to redo. This is an old track, a century-old track. It's good for maybe 10, 20 miles an hour. You know, we're a modern train going, traveling at 79 miles an hour. So we basically have the right-of-way. Without the right-of-way, this project probably could not be done. It would cost billions more. But we totally reconstruct everything from the foundation to drainage to tracks to the signal system, everything. So everything is brand new.
Dan Brecky, you alluded to the different transportation systems. You mentioned BART. There's the SMART train now. There's the ACE train, which is also being expanded.
Right.
Of course, Muni, AC Transit. I mean, how big a problem is that, and how unusual is it for a region to have so many transportation systems without, I mean, there is the MTC, which coordinates it to a certain extent, but they're all independent in large degree, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, the MTC has brought them together in certain ways. For instance, funding initiatives, the MTC pretty much has everybody together in looking at funding initiatives. And the legislature is considering a regional Measure 3, which would be an additional sales tax to fund new transit and transportation projects. But it's a legacy of how the Bay Area developed. So you have all these different agencies. Probably the most important way they've been brought together is through this Clipper Card service, where this will be active on the SMART trains as well. People can use one card for most of these systems, almost all of them. In terms of whether you could do better, I mean, I'm from the Chicago area originally, and there was something very similar there where you had commuter railroads coming in like spokes on a wheel from every direction, except, of course, from the lake. And back in the 70s, there was an attempt and a successful attempt to bring them all under a regional transit authority that actually runs them as a unified agency. That kind of thing takes a long time, and it takes a big political and financial commitment to get done. And I don't think we're there in the Bay Area yet.
That's Dan Brecke, editor and reporter here at KQED News, talking with him and Farhad Mansourian, who is the general manager for the Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit. The SMART train begins full passenger service on Friday. This is a half-hour segment, so I'm going to open up the phone lines. We'd love to hear from commuters, either up in the North Bay or anywhere else, who have thoughts about this new service that comes online fully on Friday. 866-733-6786 is the number, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, of course. It's forum@kqed.org. I assume you've done sort of all kinds of marketing and passenger surveys, Farhad Mansourian. What are you expecting in terms of how many people are going to be using this on a daily basis, and what's it going to cost?
Very good question. So, you know, we've done a lot of good marketing. We've reached out to businesses, chambers of commerce, and all the other organizations. But, you know, seriously, our biggest marketing plan is the Highway 101 by itself. We call it Highway 101 parking lot. You're stuck in it. You have no way to get off or go anywhere. And if there is an accident, then you're stuck in it a lot longer. So, you know, we are offering a new way, a new option. We get you to your destination on time, regardless of traffic delay. Let's spend time on traffic means less stress, you know, and free Wi-Fi and a cup of coffee. You can do your work so you can be productive, get to work or get home a lot less stressed. So that's from that point of view. Our schedule, we have 34 trips a day on weekdays, and we're looking forward to increase that as we hire more engineers and conductors, put more train on the tracks. The cost varies. We have come up with a number of different packages, and those packages, whatever these are, for people with disability, seniors, and youth, you get 50% off. So you can travel from one zone to the other with as little as $3.75. We also have a monthly pass that it's a 31-day unlimited pass. You can get on and get off as many times a day, a month that you wish. That's $200, and again, for seniors, youth, and passengers with disability, that's $100 only for a whole month. We also have created something called EcoPass, and that is our partnership with the employers. So a group of employees can go to their employers, and from their pre-tax money, so before their taxes, they can purchase our EcoPass and save on their IRS tax. Internal Revenue Service allows about $3,000 a year deductible for this kind of transportation.
And what if you're trying to decide, well, should I just do that with my Clipper card because I can use it on the SMART train versus getting the card you just described? I mean, what are the pros and cons of those?
No, actually, we only use Clipper card. So that's the only way
we do it.
That
is the e-card you're talking about.
That is
okay.
The e-card.
Got it.
So it will be programmed. So a Clipper card can be programmed to be that EcoPass for businesses. It can be programmed as a monthly pass, or it can be just a regular daily pass. So we've come out of our way, tried to be flexible and do what we have heard in the last few months from people.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of people wanting to ask questions. Let's start with Joe in Oakland. Welcome.
Thank you much. Can you hear me on this?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Fantastic, thanks. I'm actually commuting from Oakland to South Bay a few days a week, and my biggest question is how do we get all of these different agencies talking to each other, especially in terms of planning schedules? Quite often there's a 30, 40, 50-minute wait between trains if I have to transfer from Amtrak to Caltrain.
Yeah, let me put that. Farhad Mansourian, you mentioned that earlier, the coordination with some of the agencies. Do you want to just respond to Joe?
Well, we have done what we can do in North Bay. So all of the transit agencies and SMART, we've coordinated our schedule. It's taken us 2 years. And I have to tell you, I'm very grateful to our colleagues, the North Bay transit agencies, who have adjusted their schedule for that. I think it just takes that level of effort throughout the Bay Area with a little understanding that BART and Caltrain and ACE and VTA, just with the sheer number of people that they carry, that coordination becomes much more complex. So I want to recognize that. But that's what it takes, is just everybody just tries to figure out how we can serve Joe and everybody else. You are our boss. You are our customer. So we have to figure out how to serve you much better.
And Dan Brecky, what about Amtrak? That's, of course, federal. But
I'm sure Joe was talking about the Capital Corridor. And what's interesting about that, it's kind of a hybrid service. It's really designed as sort of an intercity service. So it has a long run there from the South Bay up to Sacramento. But it's taken on a sort of a commute character, too. People are riding it to get to work, just as Joe says. And, you know, the thing that's very difficult for Capital Corridor is they are subject to all sorts of delays due to freight traffic or construction on the tracks or bridge delays up near Martinez. So, we talk about on-time performance for a system like BART where it impacts hundreds of thousands of people, like at the drop of a hat. Well, here we don't talk too much about Capital Corridor, but sometimes they'll be knocked back half an hour or an hour if something really bad happens.
Yeah, and of course, that if that happens to you once or twice, you're going to maybe get in your car instead. Let's go to San Rafael now, and Stephen, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of comments to make. One was that I do hope that this ends up being an actual boon to the local transportation woes, but I do have my concerns because of the disruption to traffic that's going to be caused in that central San Rafael area to disrupting the morning commute that's coming down the streets there. And I also wanted to point out about the quiet zones that, you know, we as neighbors in the area, I live right close to the tracks, and that we were able to successfully establish a quiet zone in the San Rafael area. I would say against the resistance of the people there at the SMART train, including Mr. Mansourian. So I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Thanks very much. First of all, if you could, Farhad Mansourian, the traffic disruption, I assume he's talking about as the train goes through downtown San Rafael.
Well, let me clarify a couple of things. I think Stephen has raised a couple of issues with no substantiation. City of San Rafael, they amended their general plan, and they prohibit raising the tracks through downtown San Rafael. So that is a local decision that was made when their last general plan was done a decade ago or more.
So we're raising it meaning allowing the traffic to go underneath.
Correct. And so that was a local decision. And also, Stephen said that SMART was resisting quiet zone. Completely false, Stephen. Completely false. Sonoma SMART and the board of directors, we spent $10 million of SMART funds to make sure that all of our 63 at-grade crossings are quiet zone ready. And that was the money we spent. So when the locals decide to start quiet zone, then they didn't have to go through construction and months and months and months of delay. So we welcome quiet zone. What you were hearing in some of the newspapers is we're saying during the testing, when we were doing over 1 year of testing to make sure the electronic system works, we didn't want to have quiet zone when the system is not functioning properly. The only thing we had, so a 14-year-old wouldn't ride his bike in front of a train, was that horn. And we were saying during the testing, we shouldn't have a quiet zone. That's detriment to public safety.
All right. We
supported quiet zone and continue to do that.
All right. Back to the phones now. And Ned in Corte Madera, you're next. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, two concerns I've heard from locals in Marin. One is that cost is just prohibitive and for tickets. And the bigger one is just that they can only run two cars because otherwise it blocks traffic in San Rafael. So it's not going to be near the capacity it needs to be to take any load off the highway.
Farhad, what about that second point, the number
of cars? No, that's incorrect as well. We can run three cars, and in a three-car system, sitting and standing, we can carry just over 500 people. Ned is correct on one point. During the planning process, it was determined that if we carry more than three cars, then in downtown San Rafael, we would be blocking two other major intersections, and that did not make sense. As far as the cost, as I said, you can pay as little as $1.75. or if you go end-to-end, you can pay as little as $11 or less than $10 a day if you buy a monthly pass. And you have to decide how much is your stress and commute and stock on Highway 101 worth, $10 a day worth, then it's a monthly pass. $20, that's a decision that you have to take.
All right, Ned, thanks very much. Let's go to South San Francisco now. Damien, welcome. You're next.
Yeah, hi there. Actually, this is a little bit on topic but off subject. How come there's no major public transportation like BART or SmartTrain from Vallejo?
Dan Brecky?
Because it wasn't built.
it's expensive.
You know, that's a good question. And historically, Solano County, where Vallejo is, was not part of the original BART discussions, I don't believe. You would have to go over one of the bridges, and, you know, that adds an extra engineering challenge and expense. You know, the rail link that there is there to Solano County is actually a little further east between Martinez and Benicia. And, you know, why it didn't happen at Vallejo, which has, had an important Navy base in the past and that kind of thing, I really can't tell you.
All right, Damien, good question. Sorry we don't have a more complete answer. Let's go to Santa Rosa now. And Stephanie, you're next.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to parallel some of the other callers on the tax dollars. Were these well spent? That is, the smart train as proposed doesn't go anywhere that a bus hasn't and continues to go to. What we need in the North Bay is efficient express bus service to BART, Richmond BART, for example. We can get to BART now by taking the bus to San Rafael and transferring to another bus to BART. It's inefficient. It's time-consuming. Smart doesn't do anything to improve our access to the transit network in the Bay Area.
All right, I'm going to stop you there and let Farhad Basurian respond because we're getting short on time. Yeah, go ahead.
Stephanie, great, great point, but I want to point something out. Here is the problem. Your shuttles and your buses are stuck on Highway 101. You cannot go any faster than Highway 101. What SMART offers is half the time as you would on Highway 101, half the time. Imagine you save hour to 2 hours each day. Because we have our own right-of-way, and unless something happens, we're just going up and down and enjoying the view.
All right. Thanks very much, Farhad Manzurian. Good luck on Friday morning and beyond. You've got your work cut out for you, and I guess we all hope that it goes as smoothly as possible. Thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy now leading up to the opening on Friday, but thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to Dan Brecky. He's going to stick around because in the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about bike share programs in the Bay Area. There are several of them, and we'll be talking with folks involved in that, and Dan Brecky will be here as well. Please stick around. If you want to join that conversation, again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. I'm Scott Schaefer, here for Michael Krasny. Stay with us.